This is a Power 98.7 podcast. Now we're talking. Subscribe to Power 98.7 podcasts in iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. There's more on power987.co.za.
So Lesotho is effectively in the election period as of the 19th of July, 2022, with the election scheduled to take place on the 7th of October, 2022. Lesotho's parliament is accused of dragging its feet over crucial reforms that must be voted into law ahead of the all-important 2022 general elections. Now, these reforms are the combination of steps taken after the country's 2014 political crisis, which involved national dialogue supported by the international community and mediation by SADC. Now joining us on the line is Professor Ngosha Mahau, who's going to be talking to us about some of these issues. And I mean, just to try and understand why the delays and what to expect. Professor Mahau, good morning.
Good morning, sir.
Thank you so much for coming through to talk to us. Now, looking at the up-and-coming Lesotho elections in October, how important, firstly, are these elections for Basotho?
Well, they are important because it is time for the nation to decide who has to govern the country. And whoever that would be holds for the nation. But important also because the fragmentation on the political landscape is worse than it has ever been. We get advice that there will be 65 political parties that will be contesting in the elections this year. And remember, the voters would not be anything more than 1.5 million. And so these 65 political parties are going to be sharing those about 1.5 million voters. So it isn't clear which party or parties have an edge at the present moment, because there have been new players that have come into the playing field. Our own party, the Basotho Action Party, was established last year, and there has been another party called the RFP, Revolution for Prosperity, which was established early this year, and quite a number of others. And so, yes, these elections are very, very important, because at the present moment, it is not clear which party does have the edge in terms of the support of the electorate.
I mean, in your view, Professor Mahau, 65 parties, is this a sign of a healthy democracy, or does this make it an unhealthy democracy in that it's just way too many parties? And as you say, the population, or at least the voting public, is expected to be just about 1.5 million, if not less.
You could say that it is not healthy. You know where the problem lies is in the electoral model, particularly a very low threshold for anyone to register a political party in Lesotho. You only need to have collected 500 signatures, and that would enable you to register a political party. Again, in order to be represented in the National Assembly, that is, in Parliament, a party doesn't have to garner even 0.5% to be represented in there. So essentially, that encourages people to establish parties all over the show, knowing that they will definitely be in parliament in due course. So that's not quite healthy, because it enables for a very weak government, because in order to establish government, you would have to establish an alliance with several parties, some of which really represent very, very little amongst the electorate. And if you don't go their way, you get blackmailed, and that makes for a very, very weak government.
So who would you say at this point is a possible front runner? I mean, there's been a lot of criticism to Dr. Majoro and Mokotu that they've lost track, and honestly, the perception that they're failing to run the country.
Well, that's certainly true. The two, in recent times, you haven't had a government as weak and ineffective as this one led by Dr. Majoro and Mr. Mokotu. In fact, it looks like they have taken the eye from the ball. But in terms of who is likely to perform better, there are four political parties presently that seem to have a better edge. It will be the Democratic Congress of Mr. Mokotu, the ABC, led by Mr. Gabi, our own Basutu Action Party, and the fourth one would be maybe MEC, or it's called Movement for Economic Change, I think. So essentially, those are the parties that seem to attract relative support amongst the electorate.
And the elections are happening in October, not too far. How have the preparations been? I mean, and what is the what are the people saying? Is there an air of excitement and people really raring to go and put their mark and decide who the next government is going to be?
You know, the challenge is this. Over the years, interest on the part of the electorate in elections, going to the polls to cast their votes, has been declining dramatically. If you look at the voting patterns, the last elections in 2017 attracted only 46% of the electorate. It means that the vast majority of would-be voters have distanced themselves from the political process. And so we don't know whether this time around it is going to be better. It is doubtful if it will be. Preparations, there is confusion which may affect the proper running of the elections. According to the Constitution, the country has to be demarcated into new constituencies to take into account the movement of the voters in the various regions of the country. That exercise has been done, but we know that it is being challenged by some of the parties in the court of law. It is expected that in a week or so, the Constitutional Court would deliver judgment that would either confirm the demarcations as they would have been made by the IEC or reject them. In other words, if the Constitutional Court rejects them, it means we are going back to the old constituencies that were demarcated more than 10 years ago. Now, we don't know where the judgment is going to point at. If the decision is that we go back to the old constituencies, it is going to cause a serious havoc because the IEC has already prepared on the basis of the new demarcations. And that would mean they don't have enough time before the elections to begin to sort themselves out in accordance with that expected decision of the Constitutional Court. And so, yes, we are in a very murky space at the present moment as a result.
And what's the status? I mean, there's been uncertainty, Prof, over the position of former Deputy Prime Minister and opposition leader Mutejwa Metsing, who was accused of participating in the 2014 attempted coup.
As you know, he is still in exile in South Africa.
Mm.
We don't know whether he is going to be coming back into the country before the elections to participate. But he will obviously stand for the elections, perhaps from his exile position outside the country.
Hmm. That's interesting. So there's been no signs of whether he would be returning or not, at least for, I guess, campaigning and so on and so forth. Are these things possibly going to be done from exile?
He can stand for elections from wherever he is.
Mm.
We do know that he is making attempts to apply to the courts to enable him to come in back into the country. But remember, Mr. Metsing fled the country when he was due to appear in court, and subsequent to that, the court issued a warrant of arrest for his failure to appear in court. And now he applies to the same court to cancel the warrant of arrest. We don't know how the court is going to resolve that matter.
Prof, we're going to have to leave it there, but thank you so much for coming through to talk to us. I appreciate your time and your insight.
It's been a pleasure, sir. Thanks so much.
Professor Ngqosha Mahau.
You've been listening to a Power 98.7 podcast. For more podcasts, visit power987.co.za or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.